Hello everyone, this is Scott and Kylie again from the Land Down Under.
Hi everyone.
We're going to continue with where we left off from the last podcast on the discerning of spirits, except that we're going to cover the obstacles that are going to keep you from developing the gift of the discerning of spirits. There's three main areas that we've kind of identified that we think are probably going to cause you the most trouble. First one is unbelief. The next one is a lack of knowledge. And third one is deception. Right here, we're gonna go with the Webster's Dictionary 1828 definition of unbelief. It says here, incredulity, the withholding of belief, as unbelief is blind. Infidelity, disbelief of divine revelation. In the New Testament, disbelief of the truth of the gospel, rejection of Christ as the Savior of men, and the doctrines he taught. And then weak faith. I'm going to read a few quotes here, and we're going to discuss these. It's from Elder Joseph B. Worthland. Those who walk in faith will feel their lives encompassed with the light and blessings of heaven. They will understand and know things that others cannot. Those who do not walk in faith esteem the things of the Spirit as foolishness, for the things of the Spirit can only be discerned by the Spirit. The manifestations of heaven are sealed from the understanding of those who do not believe. That's important to remember that. And then from Mormon Doctrine, where the gospel is concerned, doubt is an inclination to disbelieve the truths of salvation, a hesitancy to accept the revealed will of the Lord. It is a state of uncertainty in mind with reference to the doctrines of the gospel. Faith and belief are of God. Doubt and skepticism are of the devil. There is no excuse for not knowing and believing true principles, for the Lord has ordained the way whereby all may come to a knowledge of the truth. Doubt comes from a failure to keep the commandment. This is from the Millennial Star, March 1863. Since Satan obtained a mastery over the world, every generation has been an exemplification of the fact that in unbelief he finds his strongest power over mankind. Strange as it may appear, he induces them to persist in it by whispering to them that they believe enough, that to believe any less than they do would be infidelity, and to believe any more would be superstition. But few of the saints realize how closely interwoven with themselves is unbelief. What is the necessity for all the preaching and writing, reasoning and exhortation of the tongue and pen to get us to receive and practice the truth if it be not unbelief? And then Joseph Smith said, I believe all that God had ever revealed, and I never heard of a man being damned for believing too much, but they are damned for unbelief. With unbelief, right here where Elder McConkie is talking about doubt and an inclination to disbelieve the truths, and Elder Worthland saying that the manifestations of heaven are sealed for those who do not believe. We can't begin to emphasize the problem of unbelief and a lack of faith. They go hand in hand. And it seems like people want to cherry pick what they have.
And it's like people want to believe every wind of doctrine that comes along. You've got people that are, you know, high up, that are in, you know, energy healing and so forth, but for some reason it's magic or mystic, you know, it's superstition when it comes to the things of God. It's just like the great deception of the earth, and it causes many causes to unbelief.
The cherry picking is a big problem. This quote I'm going to read you right here is from Reddit. It was about a discussion about possession by evil spirits. And this is an example of the problem of unbelief and cherry picking. This person says, I am a 100% faithful, believing, and knowledgeable member of the church, and I do not believe in exorcisms or in possession by evil spirits. I believe that the phenomena that are sometimes interpreted that way can be explained in other ways. Plus, I do not believe that evil spirits have that kind of power. It's not in any of my lesson manuals, and it wasn't taught to me in any recent general conference. And there's a problem right there.
Yeah, and the problem exists more and more with sort of making invalid the quotes of especially Joseph Smith and other early church leaders that were very valuable in regards to being possessed and how to look for the signs of possession and so forth, as they have gotten more secular and worldly. It's become more of a fable, something that superstition.
Exactly. I've done a great deal, we've done a great deal of research into the discerning of spirits. And the last time there was any real substantial teachings on the discerning of spirits was Joseph Smith. There hasn't been any real major teachings on that since that time.
And this is really alarming at this time because we're in the worst time that's ever been. The evil has escalated so much, and we have people more and more taken by worldly views and medical views that even Jesus didn't know what he was doing. He didn't know that this was just mental illness. The Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, didn't know.
Creator of this world.
The creator of this world and every human being upon it, basically, doesn't know that people have just got mental illness and they're not possessed as well or because of.
So you just... I like what Joseph Smith said. You're not damned for believing too much, but you are damned for unbelief. Joseph Smith, as we mentioned in the last one, teaching the discerning of spirits was his number one subject. And you just, it isn't taught today. Here, and again, going back to the quote from the Millennial Star, was the necessity for all the preaching and writing, reasoning and exhortation of the tongue and pen to get us to receive and practice the truth if it be not unbelief. We're not believing what we're taught. The church is under condemnation and has been under condemnation since 1832 because of vanity and unbelief. That's why the heavens are sealed.
This is why we're not getting, some people are getting revelation, but a lot of people are not getting revelation and they're just going off their best guess or their informed opinions. Like people, secular experts and professionals, they give the advice, and God isn't secular of this world. God is much higher and much broader than this world could ever comprehend, and his sciences are far superior to the celestial science we have here. But we're basing everything and every decision on what we have here and not on eternal principles.
And that leads us into knowledge. Elder Bruce R. McConkie said that faith is the child of knowledge. It is reserved for those who first have knowledge. There neither is nor can be any faith until there is knowledge. Isaiah 55:8-9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. The lack of knowledge is after unbelief is the killer. Elder Corbridge said that knowledge is crucial to discernment, and it is, once you eliminate your unbelief, knowledge is the number one way to develop your discerning of spirits. There's the problem with knowledge, though, is that what Elder H. Braylon Anderson said in his book, Many Are Called But Few Are Chosen, he said, the prophet Nephi, in prophesying concerning our day, was led to make the following comment. And now I, Nephi, cannot say more. The Spirit stoppeth mine utterance, and I am left to mourn because of the unbelief and the wickedness and the ignorance and the stiff-neckedness of men, for they will not search knowledge, nor understand great knowledge when it is given unto them in plainness, even as plain as word can be. Latter-day Saints might well consider the possibility that we are the ones Nephi was referring to. There can be no question but that we have been given great knowledge in all plainness. Are we guilty of failing to search and understand what has been given us? And if we are, is it not certain that we will be blinded by the craftiness of men?
And this is where you run the risk also of getting all your advice from so-called professionals, because where is their advice coming from? It's all secular, and, you know, God can do whatever God wants to do. God can change things. God can make things happen. There's miracles happening. There's all sorts of stuff happening. And if we just go off the opinions and the best advice of men, we're destined for doom.
In relation to that, Elder Orson Pratt had something to say in the Journal of Discourses, 13, page 70. And this applies quite well to today and to the knowledge that we have today. The devil has invented various names for his manifestations in order to get the people to swallow them down, the same as the doctors. When they wish to administer some nauseous kind of medicine, they sweeten it up a little. So the devil has sweetened up these things in such a way that he has got almost all these manifestations under the name of science. If you want to see a species of devilism made manifest, it comes out under a scientific phraseology, under the specious names of electrobiology, animal magnetism, or some such popular name. Names that have been given to real sciences, which have their laws founded in nature and are now given to these supernatural manifestations. Why does Satan use these artifices? Because the people at the present day have become naturally scientific, or a great many of them have, and the devil thinks if he can only invent a real nice, beautiful name with some resemblance to a scientific name, a great many of these people will swallow it down and think it all right. And that's one of the big problems we have today, because we have medical science, psychiatry, inventing illness after illness, mental illness after mental illness after mental illness. And because they have a doctor in front of their name, or they have a PhD at the end of their name, they have all this wonderful education, because people are naturally scientific. They're not, they're getting sucked right in. They begin to disbelieve the teachings of the gospel.
And then you can see that with the hierarchy systems, like in the secret societies, they have a hierarchy system. And this is why they scout the universities to get the most intelligent, to indoctrinate them into their societies, and they use them because they're expert in their fields. And these are the experts we're all going to look up to, and the hierarchy system, the educated, the rich, the wealthy, and they're the ones that run the show. And the thing is, they're not. They're leading everyone astray in most cases.
and apathy sets in because it's the, that's just the way things are and you can't change it. And we have our education system that is more of an indoctrination system. The education system now, there's no God in education. It's illegal to bring God up in education. And so we believe all these scientific things that a lot of it is just nothing but pseudoscience. And so...
And basically, all it's really done was to take God out of every institution. Because once they could take God out of every institution, the evil spirits with their ranking government abilities were able to not only infiltrate the governments and stuff of the world, but infiltrate the whole society with all sorts of crazy ideas.
Another one of the problems for deception, here is again from the Millennial Star, May 1901. The natural man cannot discern the things of God, for they are foolishness unto him, unrecognizable by the common senses, yet perceived in and of the Spirit. They are as tangible, as potent, as fascinating, as real and positive in action and performance as are the things of the earth. They are, in fact, more so, first spiritual than temporal, first the substance than the shadow, first the eternal than the transitory. And here we've got from Joseph Smith said, he said, I urge the necessity of prayer that the Spirit might be given, that the things of the Spirit might be judged thereby, because the carnal mind cannot discern the things of God. The carnal mind being the natural man, the way we think, the way we think in the world, there's no spiritual thinking to it.
And that's why we're told that we have to put off the carnal man. We have to, you know, shake the shackles of this type of thinking and think on a higher sphere. Think on a godly sphere and not on our carnal level. That automatically, you know, becoming to a lower celestial kingdom sphere from where we were in the pre-existence also comes with a lot of problems, you know, that we're at a different evil level here. We're at a different, well, I say vibration, you know, there's all different waves and it's pretty negative. And we've come from a more happier, lighter place. And so we just naturally end up going with the flow, a lot of people, and they don't look for the higher spiritual sphere.
When it comes to deception, then, there's probably the biggest source of deception is ourselves. Yeah. Here's what George Q. Cannon said. He said, it requires the utmost care upon the part of the people who have received the Spirit of the Lord by the laying on of hands to distinguish between the voice of that Spirit and the voice of their own hearts or other spirits which may take possession of them. But the necessity always remains of exercising care in distinguishing its voice from the voice of other influences in the heart. Now here's another quote from Elder Cannon. I noticed when I was very young in the church that men who were greatly gifted of the Lord and had many manifestations were the men who apostatized, with the exception of the prophet Joseph Smith. Nearly everyone was overthrown. I suppose the reason of it was that they were lifted up in pride, and there's another one, and allowed the adversary to take advantage of them. I would like well enough to see these gifts and blessings multiplied among us and upon us, that as a people we should have dreams and visions and manifestations of the Spirit. But there is one thing that we have all got to be very careful about, and that is this. I have seen elders in my experience that when they got their own spirit moved very much, they imagined that it was the Spirit of God, and it was difficult in some instances to tell the difference between the suggestions of their own spirit and the voice of God. This is a gift of itself, to be able to distinguish that which suggests itself to our own hearts and that which comes from God, and we are misled sometimes by our own feeling because of our inability to distinguish between the voice of the Spirit of God and the suggestions of our own spirit. And that's where the three E's come in. The emotion, elation, and euphoria.
Euphoria. And this is where you find a lot of people are more in a trance when it comes to following one great leader or stuff like that, and not our Father in heaven, not Jesus Christ. So you run the risk of being deceived on many areas, especially your own emotions and your own, and of course that can be very intertwined with traditions. Traditions, you know, some people will just, it's a tradition. It's not actually a doctrine. It's a tradition. And if they look further into the doctrines, of Joseph Smith, they'd find that a lot of the things they believe now are actually traditions that have entered, and they aren't of God at all.
You talk about, this euphoria and elation. These are the counterfeits that Satan uses to mimic the Spirit. The Holy Ghost isn't going to give you euphoria. You may get euphoria after you realize truths and such like this, but that's not the first thing the Holy Ghost does. He doesn't give you elation. He doesn't make you all excited.
And run around and carry on.
And so he...
drop on the ground and shake. That's not... or overwhelmingly emotional, unless it's something, a miracle or something like that has happened. But some people, think, oh, people that bear their testimony, they didn't cry. I often cry, but I cry because I can't believe what our Savior did for us. I just get overwhelmed. But people just cry about stories that they're telling and not about the Savior. But people think, oh, well, that was a good testimony because they cried.
Robert Millet was talked about in the LDS Living magazine regarding the very thing you just talked about, how people cry thinking that that's the Holy Spirit. Robert Millet was talking about how the youth are being taught to think that emotion is the Holy Spirit. One kid talking about another one said, well, that kid doesn't feel the Holy Spirit. And he was asked why. And the kid said, because he doesn't cry.
Yeah, and it's just like anything that they're bringing in, like climate and stuff like that. Of course we want to look after the earth. How beautiful is she? But the thing is, to scream and cry, roll around, to get rid of jobs that will get rid of food and people's housing and people's livelihoods, you got to reconsider, oh, okay, wait, though, I've got to be sensible here. Can we implement it at a slower rate and where we can, but save people's livelihoods and lives? Like, they don't think of that. It's just full emotion. So you see a lot of these policies that are just full of emotion. And they'll use something that was unfair about the system before to implement it full swing and cause all sorts of havoc in our lives.
You mentioned tradition. Joseph Smith had a little bit to say about tradition. He lamented tradition. He said, but there has been a great difficulty in getting anything into the heads of this generation. It has been like splitting hemlock knots with a corn dodger for a wedge and a pumpkin for a beetle. Even the saints are slow to understand. I have tried for a number of years to get the minds of the saints prepared to receive the things of God, but we frequently see some of them, after suffering all they have for the work of God, will fly to pieces like glass as soon as anything comes that is contrary to their traditions. They cannot stand the fire at all. How many will be able to abide a celestial law and go through and receive their exaltation? I am unable to say, as many are called, but few are chosen.
And Joseph Smith also said, I'm going to have to get that quote for you, that your mind's darkened if you just put all your faith and trust in the arm of flesh or one man. He said you've got to put all your trust and all your love and everything you have into Jesus Christ and your Father in heaven, not into a man. And he was a great, great, great prophet, one of the best. And he's telling everyone, you'll get darkened in your mind if you just constantly put all your faith, trust, and decisions into one man.
Yeah, and that can be that can be a problem. Here's that quote that my wife was talking about here. He said, let's see here. He said that the Lord declared by the prophet that the people should each one stand for himself and depend on no man or men in that state of corruption of the Jewish church. That righteous persons could only deliver their own souls. He applied it to the present state of the church, and he said that if the people departed from the Lord, they must fall, that they were depending on the prophet, hence were darkened in their minds in consequence of neglecting the duties devolving upon them. So he was telling them, hey, you know, you can't depend on me. You've got to take your salvation in your own hands.
And he probably realized that eventually he was going to be killed. And, you know, hoping that someone righteous and good and great would take the leadership. But Hiram got killed and Samuel got poisoned. So I think he was just giving a general warning that, you know, men are fallible and you've got to also do your own salvation.
Yeah. Delusion and deception. Elder Anderson here, I like quoting from him. He said, people who regard themselves as members of the only true church have the fatal tendency to consider themselves immune from the disease of deception. Knowing that they belong to the Lord's church and have his scriptures and his prophets to guide them, they blindly assume that this adequately protects them against false beliefs. And that's, again, that's where tradition comes in. We have doctrine, and then we have traditional doctrine, which is, you know, passed on from one person to the next, to the next, to the next. And we create our own Talmud, which is just the oral traditions that became a law of the Jewish people.
And you can see that if you have to work your own salvation out with the Lord and with Jesus Christ and the Heavenly Father, and not to rely on the arm of flesh or any certain man or men, well, that means to get into the kingdom of God, it's not up to any man on earth. It's up to your Father in heaven and Jesus Christ whether you go in there or not. It's not up to any other man.
And it's up to your relationship that you have with your Heavenly Father and the Savior.
No one can inhibit you you can't go into the Lord's house, because if you're right with the Lord and you're right with Jesus Christ and you're working out your own salvation and being righteous and obeying the commandments, no one should inhibit you from entering the Lord's house or say they can.
Lastly, from Mormon doctrine here, Mormon doctrine, Elder McConkie talks about delusion. He said, modern delusion is not limited to what is generally classified as a religious field. It is found in social, philosophical, political, and governmental realms, and in the speculative and theoretical parts of modern sciences. Every false belief, no matter where found, is a delusion. So you got to believe the truth. You got to have correct knowledge. You can't believe in traditional doctrine. You got to search out the knowledge. You got to search out correct knowledge, because there's so much of that, of delusion and false knowledge floating around the church. It's easy to get taken in. So you got to be careful.
Yeah, and I just think that we'll be able to cover a bit more in the next podcast in regards to how to look for these deceptive signs, but there's just so many ways, and relying on the Lord and on our Father in Heaven and the Holy Ghost, trying to take the Holy Ghost as your constant companion, is your best bet out of everything, nothing else.
Yep. Well, that's it for this podcast. If you've got any questions or write any comments, you can contact us on the email that we have. This is Scott and Kylie signing off for today.
Yeah, take care.